everybody. 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Big one coming up this weekend, and you will hear it here on The Zone Sports Network as Utah State will square off against Boise State. Both teams, Aggies coming in at 3-0. Boise State with two tough losses to two really good teams in Central Florida, as well as Oklahoma State. Their play-by-play voice, Bob Beeler, good friend of the station, kind enough to join us. Bob, how are you?
Doing good, Scotty. How are you today?
I'm good. We don't see Boise State at 1-2 very often, and I know the level of competition has been really high, but with the new head coach, what's the vibe in the community right now about this start?
Well, I think obviously when you're 1-2 for the first time since 05, I think, you know, everybody always overreacts early in the season. And I don't just mean in Boise, but anywhere across the country. If somebody's doing well, everybody's on the bandwagon. And if somebody has lost a couple tough ones, you know, people sometimes get a little concerned. But, Boise State has, always points for the conference season. This is the start of the conference play. As you mentioned, two extremely difficult teams to play in Oklahoma State and UCF. And, you know, you don't have to move more than one play or two plays in a game to change the outcome of both of them. So this team, I think, is very close. When I look at the thing that they need to do the most in this game or heading forward, Boise State's had trouble running the football so far this season, and they've had trouble stopping the run. And both of those things, as you guys know, sometimes make things very difficult for you to win games if you can't do either.
That's kind of where I wanted to start. What's been the biggest issue outside of those two things? Maybe you could emphasize those two things, but what are one or two other things that have been a big issue for Boise State in these losses?
To be honest, Hans, I don't know that I would put anything else on the list. I think it's 1A and 1B, and I don't think there's 2-3. I think it maybe goes down to 5. Hank Bachmeier had one interception at the end of the game that was costly, but for the most part, he's played really well. The pass game has looked good. They've done well for the most part against the pass. Special teams has been good. I know they missed one field goal, but the kid from Oklahoma State basically looked like Superman jumping up there to get a fingertip on it. I think everything else has gone very, very well for them. But as you know, stopping the run or running the ball, and we were arguing this week on the show, you know, if you could fix one of them, which one would you fix? And I'm on the side that I would rather try to work around not being able to run it, because you can't work around if you can't stop the run. If you are having trouble stopping the run, you need to, you know, the other team's going to keep running and running and running. So that's the thing I think they need to get fixed up first.
Seems like he's been with this program for a long time, and still he's only a junior, but Khalil Shakir is obviously certainly a special player. What kind of dynamics does he bring to this team and this offense, especially on the receiving end of a Hank Bachmeier pass?
Well, I think Shakir is just so versatile and so dynamic. He can catch it short. He can catch it over the middle. He can catch it long. They used him on punt returns when Cobbs was hurt last week. You just look at the numbers that he put out last year, 52 catches, the next closest had 20. And you look at the yards difference, and this is when they know it's coming. I think he is just, you know, we were talking the other day, too, about, you know, how good is he and where would he rank in Boise State's receiving? And I said, in the time I've been here, and I can't talk about people that I've not seen, but, I mean, Austin Pettis, Titus Young were two receivers that were here when I first got here that both played, you know, some in the NFL. Thomas Spurbeck had a ton of, you know, yards and catches. Matt Miller, career catch record. He's a coach now on the team. That's four guys. And then for just 2 years, I thought Cedric Wilson was as good as anybody at Boise State. So those are the five guys, in my opinion, that, you know, set the bar at wide receiver. All of them, based on different size and shapes, do some things better than the other one. But I think Khalil Shakir is right there. I would think he would be this year and done, but based on COVID, he could have another year to come back if he would want it. But I just think he's just so versatile, so smart, so good that, you know, I think he's their best offensive player.
Bob, when you guys are looking at the defense across the front and their second line of defense and their inability to stop the run, is it undersized defensive tackles? Is it undersized defensive linemen? Is it aggressiveness? I'm trying to think if Boise State has the gear to fix things, or if something is kind of internally broken here.
Well, listening to them, they make it sound like it's like run fits and how they've looked at eyes or position things. Last week in the second half, they only allowed 2.2 yards a carry against Oklahoma State in the second half. Now, Wimpy was back in the middle of the defense. He was out the first half for targeting the week before. So I'll live with 2.2 yards a carry. I'll even go to the bank with 2.2 yards a carry if that's what I'm giving you to run the football. They gave up 7.8 per carry in the first half. So it isn't like they've not stopped the run. They had trouble stopping it in the first half against Oklahoma State. The big transfer from Northwestern was able to, you know, he's 250, 260 pounds. They had trouble with him really throughout the whole game down at UCF. I mean, he kind of got 4 or 5 yards, you know, whenever he kind of needed it. But it's been the bigger back, the power back, that's given them more problems. But, I mean, across the front, it's 260, 305, 295, and 270. So on the defensive line, I don't think that's too small.
They are giving up 48% on third downs. Is that attributed to the being able to stay ahead of the chains by being able to run the ball, especially in that first half against Oklahoma State?
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the number from last year; they were number two in the country at 27%.
Yeah.
You know, basically, it's not quite, but almost double, you know, what it was last year, 27% to 49%. That's uncharacteristic, and that was the problem in the second half against Oklahoma State. The defense did not allow a point. You know, it was 21-20 at half, and that's how it finished. But the problem is they gave them enough first downs where they didn't get the ball back in good enough field position. So getting off the field on third downs, but I do think that's sort of a byproduct of, you know, giving them third and two to convert versus third and eight.
So, Bob, we're watching an interesting phenomenon here in the state of Utah, too, with the University of Utah losing two non-conference games for the first time since entering into the Pac-12. It just doesn't happen. And I kind of feel like they at least they should be a caged animal, kind of rattled up and ready to bite somebody after those losses, and having Washington State be their first conference opponent, you know, kind of expecting that this weekend. How rattled do you feel Boise State is? How rattled do you feel like the players are? And do you feel like this staff, and do you feel like these leaders that you've watched for years kind of grow into these leadership roles, do you feel like they'll respond well to this adversity as they come into Logan?
I do, and I think that when you look at Boise State over the years, they make a point of really focusing in on the league. So I think you lose a couple of tough games. I think it's kind of a nice way to wipe the slate clean a little bit. I think that they've gone back to looking at, you know, what they're, you know, wanting to do on, you know, probably all three phases of the game. Although I think for the most part, special teams, you know, it's been pretty good for them this year. I don't think it's been a real negative. So I do think that this team is ready to break out. And I think that, you know, I think it's going to be a challenge. I think Utah State really presents some problems, especially from the offensive side with the, you know, they use two quarterbacks that seem to both bring something different to the table. I think the two receivers that you guys have in Tompkins and Bowling really look like they complement each other extremely, extremely well. So I think, you know, especially from the defensive side, you know, I do think they're going to have a challenge, but I do think that they're going to respond. I mean, this team is used to winning. I mean, we had a couple years ago, they started in Harsin's first year, they started 3-2, and then, you know, had it a long winning streak. They rattled off and went to the Fiesta Bowl. The last time they were 1-2 was 2005, and they ended up winning 7 in a row, winning 9 for the season, and winning the league. So, you know, I think confidence is still high heading into this game.
You know, back to the some of the issues they've had running the football. I mean, George Helani, I mean, that's a 1,000-yard rusher. Mm-hmm. You know, these you got running backs there that have had a resume of being able to produce yards. Is there some concern with the offensive line, or does that go back maybe to the level of competition that they're going up against?
Well, I think maybe a little of that, because I do think that the two teams that beat them are pretty good, but they really have not had their full complement of what was expected to be the starter. They haven't had Kekani Okoa Holomalia Gonzalez at all this season at center. He was supposed to be the starting center. They've had mix and matching at the guard spots where they've used, you know, three different people at guards, and they've even flipped them from left to right during one of the games. And then, you know, when there was an injury, and then the next week, because there was still an injury, they ended up flipping the two guards again. So I don't think they've had the continuity in the offensive line that, you know, maybe they would like. Jake Stets did come back last week. He was the guard that got hurt against UCF. So, you know, maybe that line with another week working together will be there. George Helani is coming off an injury, and they're very guarded about things, but it seems like because they talked about conditioning and that he's not able to have been going that many plays the last week or so. So I think that, you know, to be a 1,000-yard rusher, you're probably going to have to take 20 carries a game, and he hasn't been in that stage yet. Habibi Leikio has taken some carries, so has Van Buren. But, you know, Helani, to me, of the three, is the guy that can change direction and make people miss. And you know, I think he's your all-purpose back to me. And, you know, if he can get healthy, I think that'll go a long way, or in shape or whatever the definition is. I think it'll go a long way to help fix the running game.
Do you feel like there's some stability coming with that offensive line this week against Utah State, or are they still dealing with some injuries there?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, if Harrington goes again for Holomalia Gonzalez, it'd be the fourth week in a row that he's gone, so you'd like to think there's more familiarity there. And then, you know, I would think the more you have the same people playing, if the best guys are healthy and able to play more, I think that's certainly got to be a help. You know, they're very guarded. I don't know whether Holomalia Gonzalez is going to be able to play this week or not. I would think that if it's Harrington in there, I would think they'll be better off for having played three games with basically this core than if they had, you know, had a first time where somebody was in.
Bob, as you were watching the Big 12 thing unfold and you saw the openings and then you heard that they were going to try to retain and maintain and then rebuild, how likely did Boise State feel like they would get that invite? How upset were they that they didn't? And then if you could, I'd like to know if Boise State would ever be interested in leaving the Mountain West Conference for the AAC, or how interested they might be in doing that.
Well, I'm not asking anybody there, so everything would be what I would think or what my opinion would be. I'm sure that, you know, from talking to people, I think people would have liked to have had the invite to the Big 12. I think that's fair. But when you look at the four places that got in, all four had major markets: Salt Lake, Orlando, Houston, Cincinnati, way more eyeballs than Boise State. So I think it's understandable why they went to those four. Now, whether there's going to be another round and there's going to be two more or four more or no more, you know, that remains to be seen. For me personally, I don't know that I would be interested in going to the AAC, because I think what's left of it isn't as good as the Mountain West. And I don't know really why you would want to traipse your, you know, other sport teams across the country to play. I wouldn't, but then that's me. If I was sitting in the chair making a decision for me, I wouldn't be interested, but I don't know. The things change, it seems, quickly, and, you know, who knows what, you know, what's being discussed or what's being talked about or whatever. But I think the Mountain West this year is as good as it's been. I think you guys are up down there at Utah State. I think Fresno is really good. San Diego looks like they should be pretty good. You know, and sometimes when you have that, you end up, you know, everybody knocks everybody else off. I think Nevada's got one of their better. They probably have their best team since the Kaepernick years. So, you know, I think the league's got a pretty good year going so far.
You know, it's interesting. Utah State and Boise State, and I believe it's the two schools, and you're hard-pressed to find a bigger discrepancy in conference schedules than what Utah State deals with. I mean, the Aggies over the last 2 years have been dealing with San Diego State, Nevada, and Fresno. Well, yeah. This year on the rotation, they drop off, so the Aggies don't have to play those three teams, and they pick up UNLV, Hawaii, and San Jose State. And I know San Jose's good again, but and then I think Boise State just flip-flopped that. You drop off those three and pick up the tough three, I think the conference needs to address that a little bit. Now, it's working in Utah State's favor this year, but I mean that's a wide discrepancy in talent that you're playing there.
Yeah, and I don't know how it ever got, because it's been the rotation the way it's been since Boise State and Utah State have been in the league. More years than not, if you said who's a top three team in the West Division and who's a bottom three team, you'd have the three that they have paired together: Fresno, San Diego, and Nevada. More often than not, have been in the top three, and more often than not, San Jose, Hawaii, and UNLV have been the bottom three. I agree with you. I don't understand how they came up with the, you know, the rotation of how, you know, who's on for 2 years and who's off. You know, if you want to make it a lot, maybe you wouldn't see somebody for 4 years, but maybe I understand you want to play a home and away. Maybe after the 4 year home and away rotation, you shake the teams up again, and maybe you play somebody, end up playing somebody 4 years in a row. You don't see somebody for, you know, total of 4 years or something. But I think who you play in the crossover can have a lot to do with who wins a given division. The one thing, though, that is for sure, if you lose, if you do not lose a division game, if you can go clean in the division at 5-0, you would win all tiebreakers for the division. So you would have to lose two games out of the conference of the three games. If you just lost one, you tie everybody else in the division if you've knocked everybody else off. So to me, it makes this game and any game in the division worth way more, because if it's a tie and Utah State beats Boise State, then Boise State has to do better against their side of the West than Utah State would, and Utah State would have to do the same thing if Boise State would win this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, if Utah State were to find a way to win this game, it certainly puts them in the driver's mm-hmm. seat for the division, just based on the rest of the schedules that
sure.
You've also got
two division wins already, Scott. You'd
exactly,
also have two.
Yep. So, you
know,
I mean,
and Air Force will beat people. You know that. You know they'll win some games.
Yeah, Air Force, mm-hmm. that's a really good team. That's still
well,
a really
it's
good
also
team.
A tricky team. You know, yeah. It's a tricky team.
Not fun to play, that's for sure. Just talking to those coaches, they're like, yeah, we understand it's kind of out of the frying pan and into the fire with Boise State, but still, it's fun not to have to worry about the triple option going into this week, for sure. Yeah. So,
and I think that when you look at what they and what Navy and what Air Force have done, I think they make it very difficult for teams to face them on a one-shot basis.
Yep.
You know, if that's the only team that looks like that you're going to see in 12, you know, if you play something similar, like 1 year when I was at UMass, between the end of one season and the beginning of another, we played both Army at the end of one season, Navy towards the beginning of one season, and somebody else ran something similar. So in four games, we played three games that were against similar option-based teams. We got better at it as they did it more.
Bob, always a pleasure catching up with you. Thanks for your time. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow, bright and early tomorrow morning. And I'll buy you breakfast at the press box. How about that?
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Thanks, Bob. It's going to be a good one.
That's Bob Beeler, play-by-play voice of Boise State right here on the Zone Sports Network. Good dude.
It's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, should be fun.
This is the game of the week in the state.
Certainly feels that way. And as we were talking about, and I know that – you know, some of our listeners, I'm not sure, were overly interested in taking a dive deep in Mountain West Conference scheduling, but it's a really funky setup in the Mountain West that really favors one team over another and can be really advantageous for one while the other team has issues. So if Utah State beats Boise State and does not have to play Nevada, San Diego State, and Fresno, while Boise State still has to play those three teams, mm-hmm. It really puts the Aggies in the driver's seat for the division.
You heard Bob Beeler's take on the Boise State Broncos potentially leaving for the AAC. His thoughts on the AAC, and I thought that he was right on. That's the way I felt about this new AAC with the teams that they've now lost to the Big 12. But are those things dying down now, Scotty? Because there were some steam for Colorado State and San Diego State, was it?
Colorado State and Air Force, I think, are the teams that might still be very much in play for the AAC. I don't think so on Boise State. Because, I mean, to Bob's point, Boise State's thinking there's going to be another round of Big 12, and Boise State's probably in at that point. So they're thinking, why deal with exit fees and all this other nonsense? Let's stay put. We got the Aztecs. We got Fresno State. You got everybody else playing really good football. Why spend extra money for a couple of years moving over to a different conference and sending our volleyball team to South Florida when we can just stay here playing a really good conference and be fine and position ourselves for a chance to go to the Big 12? It just doesn't make a lot of sense. And that's Bob, you know, talking for himself, but I think he's got a lot of – I think there's a lot of factual information there. Air Force and Colorado State still might very well be in play for the AAC. Why? I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense to me, but you do you, I guess. So it still wouldn't surprise me if some news came out on those two. All right, Hans and Scotty, we're live here at University Federal Credit Union. Love for you to come by and check out what they can do for you. to put you in a situation where you can save a ton of money. You know, everybody talks about home refinance, and you can do that here, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We have home refinances. We have HELOCs, especially with home prices on the rise. People can get a lot of equity out of their homes these days to finish those projects like basements, backyards, decks, all those things that are kind of high dollar. You know, you already spend everything you could on your down payment or something.
Yeah.
You still have some equity left.
I love it because I saw a young family come in and you're meeting with them and dealing with them and, you know, how friendly and how serviceable everybody is here at this location, I guess at every location, but it's just fun to watch you work with people, Gabe.
Yeah, yeah, thank you, yeah. And those folks were opening a small business account, and we specialize in those things. Mm-hmm. So we look at for options, you know, save them on time, help them with their clientele as well, with merchant processing and stuff like that.
So if somebody's got a small business idea, this is where you would start for some of the
They
the
can
lending.
Ask us, you know, what would I need to open a business account? What, you know, where should I go? Where should I start? We are know all the tricks to trade and can kind of give them a real easy checklist to go off of.
It's really simple. Come down here and let's put some money in your pocket, too. You open up an account with a debit card, you use that. There's $150 in your pocket.
$150.
Let's say you come down here and you set up your direct deposit with your employer. That's
another $150.
Another $150. Mm-hmm. And you've got an auto loan. Let's say you got it a couple of years ago. It's you know back when interest rates were a lot higher than they are now, and you're thinking, man, I need to refinance that. You come and do that here.
Yep, come do that here, and we'll give you $100 cash.
That's $400. Bam, bam, bam.
And that's for any age, right? That's anybody who qualifies for that.
Anybody qualifies for that? Yeah.
Let's go. It's right here at University Federal Credit Union. We are down here in Eagle Mountain, 3535 Ranches Parkway. Stop by, grab some jazz gear, check out the staff here that's ready to help you out. Gabe's ready to go, the branch manager, and really helps things go down here. So let's make it happen right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined now by Lincoln Kennedy, Raider radio analyst, Tampa Bay. That defense, is that championship-level defense? They've given up a lot of points through two games.
Without a doubt. You can't convince me that Tampa could go into Green Bay, the quarterback can throw three interceptions and still walk out of there with a win if they didn't have a good defense. The defense won last year's Super Bowl for them. I know what Brady did. I'm not trying to take away from his shine. One thing I would definitely tip my hat to, and unfortunately have to, is the fact that they were able to keep their entire team together. After winning a Super Bowl, I don't remember if that's ever been done before. So they're just as strong as ever. And if they don't lose this week against the Rams, I have a hard time figuring out when they're going to drop one. They could very well go through the season unscathed.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network on our Friday edition of the show. We are live here at University Federal Credit Union. 3535 Ranches Parkway. Stop by and hang out with us. Good, the bad, the ugly, of course, always brought to you by Zero Res. Get those carpets cleaned. A-plus in carpet cleaning. No residue, no harsh chemicals, no shampoos. 801-288-9376. Or go to ZeroResSaltLake.com. Or if you're up north, go to ZeroResDavisWeber.com.
Well, the NFL is doing everything they can to own every network and every day. And so, Scotty, what I look at is good news because I always feel like the wild card weekend is really packed in there between Saturday and Sunday games. They have now announced that they are going to move one of the six first-round playoff games to Monday, January 17th. So now you're going to get Saturday. So you'll get two games on Saturday, three games on Sunday, and you will get that sixth and final game on Monday.
Imagine playing that Monday, though, and having to turn around and play a playoff game, a divisional playoff game, 6 days later.
The following
Sunday. They can't be happy about that.
Because the divisionals are all in that Sunday
slot, I believe, right? I believe they're all on Sunday.
Wild card's the only one that goes Saturday and Sunday.
I may be wrong on that, but I believe that your divisional games are all on Sunday.
Well, yeah, that's gonna shave a day of preparation off.
Yeah. That would make me a little cranky.
When it comes to NFL playoffs, that means something.
Yeah. And especially, and I don't think they would do this, but if you're playing a team that won on the Saturday, they got a 2-day head start on you.
I don't know how they'll work that scheduling.
Yeah.
But in order to keep it anywhere close to fair, they're going to have to make sure that the teams that are matched up play that Sunday and then that Monday and not have that separation.
Yeah.
That could make a mess.
But the NFL likes to own everything, and that's certainly something that they just like to expand that empire of theirs, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They like to own every day that they can possibly own. And they'll own it, man. That Monday will be centrally focused on that NFL playoff game that'll be played that night. There's no question.
You know, there's a – by the way, speaking of the NFL, there's news that Jeff Bezos wants to buy the Broncos. Maybe the Amazon Broncos, for crying out loud.
He's got the money to do it.
Oh, yeah. I was reading a story about him today. His net worth is more than every other NFL owner combined.
But when did Mr. Smart Guy get interested in sports, man? Stick to being smart.
I think it's a status symbol now.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think, that's your ultimate sign of wealth is to buy. I mean, that's to buy an NFL team. You're looking at what, $5-7 billion
mm-hmm.
now? I mean, what better way to show the world that you're that kind of wealth is than to go out and own an NFL team? That's something that only a handful of people on the planet can do.
What do you think the Broncos go for right now? $2 billion, $2.5 billion?
I'd say north of that. I'd say $6-7 billion. I mean, NBA teams are going for $2 billion now.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
NFL teams are in that six-ish range. Again, nothing for Bezos.
Oh, yeah. That's
he makes that in 2 months. So
that's
ridiculous.
A drop in the bucket for that guy. It's ridiculous. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
So Richard Sherman, only 33 years old, still wants to play in the NFL, but knows that there is a little bit of an issue he's dealing with, that July 14th tirade.
A lot of bit of an issue.
Yeah, where he nearly beat down his wife's parents' door in the fit of rage. Not the best look for him. The 33-year-old corner still thinks he can help any NFL roster out there and said, quote, if you're judging me off a momentary lapse, then I think it's going to be, well, then I'm probably not the player for you either way, said Sherman, who then vowed to burn any team who passes on him. Well, mm-hmm. So far that's been every team mm-hmm. in the NFL who has not wanted any part of Richard Sherman. Said, I've got a decade worth of a resume that should stand more firmly than a momentary lapse in judgment. I've got a decade worth of character and tape to be judged off of.
Well, that momentary lapse in judgment was above and beyond a typical lapse in judgment.
Yeah.
You know, a collapse in judgment, Scotty, is you're at some clothing department and you're thinking that you could fit into a 38 when you know you're a 40, but you buy the 38 because you're like, I'm going to get home and I'm going to fit in these. And then you take them home and you don't fit. And then they just sit on your shelf and you never wear them. That's a lapse in judgment.
Are you saying that that's not the same as in a rage, having your wife yell at 911 that you're losing your mind and trying to break down the door and fight your wife's parents?
Yep, this is nowhere similar. He's ripping at the door. There's video of him ripping at the door in an attempt to get into a home. And it didn't look like he wanted to have a conversation with whoever was in that house. It was terrifying. I'm a big man, and I could deal with a little bit of heat, but when I watch that video and I watch him freaking out and going bonkers, that's a man that needs to worry about his health, mental health, his well-being, and not so much about being on an NFL field.
Agreed, 100% on that.
Come on, Richard. You didn't, at the last second, you didn't ask them to put raspberries in your milkshake when raspberries just don't go real well with Snicker Bar. Like, that's a lapse in judgment.
Have you ever done that? Mix a little fruit with candy?
I have. I've added stupid things in a shake, and I'm like, why did I do that? That's the dumbest thing I've ever done. Oh, it's not like you're sitting down at JCW's and you're sitting up to the table and you're going to order, and you're like, I'll take the small cheese fries. And then you sit down and you're like, what the heck, man? I know this is a lot of cheese fries, but I much rather would have had the large cheese fries. That's a lapse in judgment.
Yeah, you try those cheese fries and you immediately know that you want more of them. But the small cheese fry is still a very healthy amount of cheese fries. It's probably the right amount for a normal person. Although I did see a large plate of cheese fries with Rock and his cousins. And boy, watching those dudes, it looked like a poor cow just walked into an Amazon pond filled with piranhas.
It goes quick. And then they threw the empty tin at me.
They did. Refill it now.
It's like the bones of the cow was resurfacing. Like, yeah, those are lapses in judgment. not trying to kill your in-laws.
Yeah, that's a little bit more. All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
So this is a really interesting situation that happened in Major League Baseball, and I'll get through it really quickly. But the simple form of this, Scotty, you go back a couple of days ago, and Kermiere, who is Kevin Kermiere is a longtime player for the Rays. He's an outfielder for the Rays. And he decided, he got a nice hit, outfield hit. I think it might have been he was on second.
Okay.
And he was coming into home plate. He went to slide. The catcher went to tag him out. And the game plan that's attached to the catcher's hand flipped out of the holder and landed next to Kermiere. And as he stood up, he picked up that game plan and walked off with it and would not give it back to the Blue Jays. So he walked off with that game plan. Well, the Blue Jays get ticked off, and so they have Ryan Barucki, the pitcher, hit him yesterday. Actually, hit him on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Pitched at him. Hit him right square in the back. Well, today they found that he did that purposefully, and they have suspended him for 3 games. He's been banned for 3 games. Obviously, they're trying to say, oh, it got away from me, because it's really hard. How do you even identify intent with a pitch? What's crazy, I can identify intent with a hit in football. I can't identify so much in baseball, but that's because I haven't been on the mound and I haven't been at the batter's box.
Lloyd, when you played baseball back in the day. Murray High, hello.
Hello, Murray.
When you watch baseball and you see somebody get bean, can you tell if it was intentional or not?
I think these guys are pretty good enough that they can place that ball almost anywhere. But so I also feel like it's hard because sometimes they get away. I think it's tough to say. But when you know a storyline like this, sure, then maybe you might think that it's on purpose. If you know about a storyline, you're like, well, that seems like that might be on purpose. But just to be like, well, it looks like he threw at him on purpose is kind of hard to say.
Yeah, he threw him on purpose. I don't like the 3-game suspension, especially when the guy wouldn't give the card back. That's stupid.
Well, it's the video of him stealing the card is out there, and it's really funny.
Yeah.
Because he slid into home. And he's kind of sitting there looking at the ump like, well, what's the deal? And he looks down and he sees the paper, the folded up paper, and he grabs it and he flips the dirt off of it, stands up and starts walking off. He knows exactly what he's got in his hands. And of course, you know, across the field, you hear them barking at him. Toronto's yelling at those guys to try to get the game plan back. And they're not giving it back.
Nope. Sorry.
So you hit him.
Yeah. All right. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Hey, Lloyd, are we talking to our friend next, or is it at 1250?
No, it's next.
Ooh. Alana Brophy's going to join us next. What you should plan on if you're going to a game in Provo, Salt Lake, or up in Logan. Everybody's home tomorrow. So we'll talk to Alana coming up next. Hans and Scotty, get you your weather forecast right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
It's game week for the Utes, and the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff. The Utes open up Pac-12 play as they welcome in Washington State for an early start. Listen all week for your chance to win tickets to the game and then catch the Ute pregame show Saturday at 10:30 with a postgame show immediately following the game on the Zone Sports Network. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Ute football.
You ready?
Yeah!
Than 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. It's a Friday, but no week would be complete without talking to one of our favorite people on the planet. She dishes out that pinpoint weather forecast for you. She is the chief meteorologist for ABC4 Utah and an overall good person. Alana Brophy, kind enough to join us. Alana, how are you?
Hey, Alana.
Happy Friday, guys. I miss ya. How's it going?
Well, yeah, Lloyd said that he wished we could have got you on yesterday, but we get you on today. So, look, it's a Friday, and let's celebrate a Friday. We're fired up to have you on.
Thank you. I love a Friday, and I know that it's not Lloyd, guys. I know you're trying to break up with me. You just can't. Like, it's just a thing. You know, I've dealt with this my whole life. You're not going to get away. They always come back.
They always come back for more weather.
It's not you. It's us, Alana.
Lloyd said he was busy blow drying his hair. No harm, no foul. He was just blow drying his hair.
Listen, I get that. I've been there. I hope he's using that nice brush that round brushes it out, Lloyd. I know you got to crop that mop, make the mane look good. I'm not mad. Don't worry. Don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. I miss you guys.
Lloyd's the one guy on this show that actually has a good head of hair. So yeah, he needs to be dropping all the product and all the stuff he can to keep that stuff going. Mm-hmm. All right, so. Mm-hmm. We've got all games here in the state of Utah. Provo, Salt Lake City, Logan. Is there anything anybody should be keeping an eye on out there?
Woo-hoo! I know. I love home games. I just feel like, I mean, you can sense it, right? Tailgaters get out there. People are excited. And we've got different kickoffs. So tomorrow actually looks awesome. I mean, we just officially kicked off autumn. So this is our first autumn weekend. So it's going to be a football weekend. And we've got temperatures in the low 80s in all those cities. So Salt Lake's going to top out at 83 tomorrow. 81 up in Logan, 82 in Provo. Provo's that late kickoff. BYU's got that 8:15 game, right? Isn't it a late one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to feel like football season. We're going to be in the 60s. You're going to grab your Coug gear. You're going to put on the sweatshirt. We're going to see clear skies. That is going to be a very, very pleasant evening. Now, what are our other kickoffs? We've got the Utes. I think that's going to be a little hot for tailgate. Yeah.
That's at noon.
They're going to be warming up during the game. So we're going to see those temperatures in the 70s and 80s, but for tailgaters and then getting into the low 80s as we get towards the end of the game. So that's going to be a really, really nice one, too. Just, you know how you just want that one summer tailgate that's not really summer, but you want that one warm one where you can wear a t-shirt, you know, play some cornhole, do your thing. But tomorrow's going to be the one to do that. It's going to be a nice one.
Utah State, 10 a.m. start tomorrow. What does tomorrow morning in Logan look like?
Oh, Logan. I love Logan because, you know, Logan's a little cool. Kind of gives you the cold shoulder with those chillier temps, and I'm, like, here for it. Tomorrow morning is going to feel a little brisk, autumn-like. They're going to be okay. It's going to be in the upper 50s. So for the kickoff of that game, like, probably around 57, 58. But you're going to steadily warm, but that's going to also – it's going to feel crisp and cool and autumn-y, but clear skies. And we don't have anything in the way of precip. Tomorrow, those isolated storms will stay to the south. Kind of in Washington County. So we actually have a really nice football setup with dry conditions and a good game. And hopefully this dose of vitamin D, a little sunshine, can help some of these teams because the youth, you're killing me. You're killing me.
A little vitamin D to get it going. That should get it going. So some of our temperature trends look like going into next week?
Well, okay, so I'm glad you asked. Good question. We actually are above average. Usually this time of year, we're right around 77 in Salt Lake. Last couple days, we've been slightly above that. We've got a warming trend going through the weekend, and then we head into next week. Next week's going to start with this ridge of high pressure. Only downside for the weekend is a westerly flow, so we get a little smoke and haze. I mean, not anything we're not used to this summer, but that's going to be out there, so air quality could be moderate. But by the time we get to the middle of the week, the winds are going to kick up. So by about Wednesday, heading into Thursday, we get those southwesterly winds because we had a storm system dropping in from the Pacific Northwest. We're into that season where we see those drastic temp drops. So by Wednesday, we get wet weather in the north and central Utah. Temperatures go from the 80s to the 60s. Those are ones that you're like, I feel that. Ooh. I don't know. Like, we don't ever ease into fall. It's always just like a storm comes through and I'm like, well, apparently now it's just rain boots and sweatshirts. But I'd be happy with that. I love the moisture. So we get a big cool down middle of the week, drops us way below average. We get the chance of some wet weather on Wednesday, and then maybe that lingers into Thursday. We'll kind of see how it plays out.
So I almost shot you off a tweet last night because I saw your drought forecast and things have gotten a little bit better. So Lloyd and I want to know, is the drought over then? Are we done with this now?
I love when you ask this question because I feel like this is why they have axe throwing and glass breaking. Like, this is why they have those businesses.
No need for El Nino, right?
No, it's not over. But you know what? I'm very happy with the progress we've seen. You can't. Meteorologists can't gamble on summer rain. Summer rains are not consistent. Monsoon season fluctuates every year, so there's no way you can bank on that. So when we do get any improvement, it is helpful. And I think it was tough to see that flooding in southwestern Utah, but Cedar City and St. George, Iron and Washington counties are in that severe drought. That's halfway on the drought monitor, which is good to see. 21% of Utah is still in the exceptional drought, but that does include the Wasatch Front. That's scary, our most populated area, right? I mean, we have seen progress. We need a bangerang snow year. I keep making the calls, like, leaving that voicemail. Yo, Mother Nature, why are you mad at me? Like, I just don't know what else to do. We need that wet weather, and that would really help us out. But we have seen progress. I love progress. That's good news. 88% of Utah in extreme drought. So that's just below exceptional. And, hey, we'll take any bit of movement on that monitor that we can. You should
call Mother Nature. Calling Mother Nature at 1 a.m. saying, you up? Like, come on.
Yeah. She's like, new phone, who dis? I'm like, don't even.
Mother Nature treating you like Lloyd Cole, not calling back, not reaching.
Mother Nature's like, I was blow drying my hair. I couldn't answer. Well, all right. Yeah.
Oh, good times. Hey, so there's no way to look ahead and see what this winter is going to look like, right? And people like say, well, I was talking to somebody the other day. It's like, well, I read this old farmer's almanac and it's supposed to be a good winter. But we don't know, right? That's all just garbage.
Yeah, I mean, I think that everyone has their own trend. I think there's a lady called Miss Cleo who might be able to tell you. But like, no, ooh. At the end of the day, like, we look at the trends and we hope. I mean, we talked about La Nina last time and how if that sets up, it could benefit the top third of Utah, which would be really nice to see an average or above average snow year. So, I mean, we're hopeful. With these storms dropping in from the Pacific Northwest, I usually like to see them with moisture. A couple have been dry cold fronts, and this one coming Wednesday could go either way. Could split, be just a dry front that brings colder air, or we could get a little rain from it on Wednesday. I'd prefer if the moisture comes with those. When we get into that dry pattern with those storms coming in, it's not great news. Also, that ridge of high pressure is just a bully. Blocks all the storms, and we've seen that set up quite a bit this summer. And so if that gets into that groove for the winter, not great stuff there. But I'm hopeful, you know, we kind of – weather's just like everything else. You take one day at a time, everybody. I mean, the youth know. Hello, one day at a time. Too awesome. Ugh. But I feel like you just gotta hold your head up and keep going. But I am hopeful now that we're into fall. We are seeing the pattern shift. We're going to move away from that southerly flow with the monsoon, get more of those storms dropping in from the west and Pacific Northwest, and hopefully those will be wet ones. That's what we want.
So, Alana, how do people gauge the amount of snow that comes in and the impact it can have? Because, you know, we look up on the mountain, and typically by Halloween we've got some cover up there. But it's really tough. How do people gauge it? Because I think everybody's drawn a real interest to this snowpack that's coming in and wanting to pay attention. Are we getting enough snow up there? How do you kind of follow along with that? Or how do you know? Is it something you watch on the weather or some type of app? Like, how do you know that?
Yeah, so snowpack is hugely important, right? Early season snowpack can be tough. Snowpack sets up the type of snow you're going to see on the mountains as we get through the season, which really gives you a good idea with avalanche. And it's also what we follow so closely because when it melts off, it's where we get our runoff and what fills our reservoirs. So I do the drought monitor every week. Talk to people about drought on the forecast. When we switch seasons, I talk snowpack. I show that snowpack update, where we are in percent in comparison to normal, where we should be, that type of thing. And we go county by county, so you know really throughout the state, because, yeah, we'll get a few flakes, like we saw that storm system come in above 9,000 feet. It's great to see those fly, but they don't stick around early season. So you're looking for accumulating snow as we kind of get into these heavier storms that stick around, and we follow that snowpack really, really closely. I've been really lucky. At the end of the season, I've gone up to Trial Lake with hydrologists from the National Weather Service, and that's actually off Mirror Lake Highway, the headwaters for our four major rivers, Provo, Deschene, Bear, Utah. And, like, we really look at that and kind of see. They use that as kind of the indicator species, the mile marker for what's going to happen with the runoff. And that's been really interesting year after year to go up and measure and just see how drastically different it is one year to the next. And you get a good idea once you get that snow. It's not just we need snow. We need to kind of ease into that spring season, because if we warm up very quickly, we lose a lot of our snowpack to evaporation or the runoff. If we're very dry like we have been, that water doesn't make it all the way down to the basin, right? It will be absorbed by dry soils on the way, so we're not yielding as much as we'd want. So the snowpack report is really important. It's something we watch throughout the state. The water survey does it, and it's just something. And so I think you're right. A lot of people now taking an interest in that after coming off of a drought year, because I look at water storage as a savings account, right? You want to bank everything from that snowpack in the basin, like put it in the reservoir. You don't want to spend that every day. You don't want to use it to buy gas. You don't want to grab your groceries with it. You just want to keep it there for an emergency. But this last year, we didn't have anything to spend. We were kind of drawn from savings quite a bit. And once that's gone, it's gone. And it's not so easy to go out there and fill that savings account again. So we really do need a good year to get that water in our reservoirs, so that as we move forward with conditions that maybe are dry, warm, hot, drought, we have something in our back pocket to help us through. We're a high desert climate, and that's really important. So that's something we kind of keep our eye on and something I'm hopeful for. And I know everybody hates driving in the rain and snow, but gosh, we definitely need the moisture. And this year, I'm snow dancing. You should see my moves, guys. They're so stellar.
Well, don't you dare call her meteorologist. That's chief meteorologist to you, buddy. That is Emmy award-winning Alana Brophy. Hey, by the way, an Emmy, like, do you bring that out at dinner parties and stuff? Because if Anz and I had an Emmy, I think we would bring it to the show every day.
Oh, you know, I just put it in a Halloween costume. No. I was so lucky for that. That was so nice. No, I feel like it's one of those things. I think my mom thinks it's cooler than I do, but I do feel very, very lucky to have it. My husband was in news, and he never got one. So it's like that one thing that I like to flex on him about. Like, I don't know. Can you just go in the other room, see what's in there? All right. No big.
Yeah, like, where's your Emmy? Oh, you don't have one. Nice. Well, Alana, you're the best. We appreciate it. Catch her on ABC for news. You can follow her on Twitter at Alana Brophy News. You're the best. We'll talk it again next week.
Thanks.
Happy Friday, guys. Let's have a good football Saturday.
You got it. Alana Brophy right here on the Zone Sports Network. It's like weather on a Red Bull.
Yeah, it is. But it's always a good report.
Yeah.
Awesome. Sounds like it's going to be a beautiful day for everybody across the state tomorrow.
Can't go wrong. Gabe's with us right now. We're live here at University Federal Credit Union. And Gabe, we want to put money in people's pockets. We also want to save them a ton of money. And you've got branches down here at Utah County. We were at Lehigh on Monday. Now we're down here at Eagle Mountain. And it's really cool to see University Federal Credit Union really grow throughout the state. You guys want to help a lot of people here.
Yeah. We're definitely expanding and just reaching more of our membership. Now they don't have to go drive up to Draper or Riverton anymore. Our Utah County folks can come see us right in their neighborhoods.
You open an account, use a debit card, boom, $150, right?
Right. Yep.
You set up direct deposit.
Another $150.
And if you refinance your auto loan, which a lot of people should be doing considering the rates right now.
Right. You get $100 cash.
That's $400 just like that.
Yep. We're giving you money, and then you're saving money on your interest rate. So amazing.
We got a lot of jazz gear down here as well. We're at the brand new Eagle Mountain location, 3535 Ranches Parkway. Stop by. Gabe and his crew ready to help you out right here on the Zone Sports Network.